Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome. I am so glad you're here with me today as we explore, very big word, guilt. I've been doing these for a little while now, and it dawned on me that there's 14 of them. So I'm getting to get into some of the subjects that lie beneath the big subjects, and I think guilt counts as that. You know, when I thought about the subject today, it seemed like such an important one to talk about, because after all, it has everything to do with how much freedom we actually are going to have in life. And, you know, to me, it's a simple equation. The more guilt, the less freedom. But it wasn't going to be that easy, because, I was thinking of guilt like as a feeling. And then I got into this conversation with a friend about it, and he said the problem with guilt is that you actually have to admit it, and lots of people don't want to do this. Well, I got stopped, because most of the time when I'm working with guilt within myself or with someone else, it's a result of wanting to get rid of it. You know, I feel weighed down by it, and I wish that I could alter the situation in some way so that I can get out from underneath that magnitude of the judgments, right, that layer on top of it. So it's slanted how I'd like to talk about guilt today. And although I realize that tapping into the places where you may feel guilt, that they don't feel great, there's a rich, rich reward if you can even get one little sliver of movement that produces some leeway for you today. So to kick us off, I found a poem. I have a couple poems laced in today. Sometimes I find a lot of cool ones and sometimes I don't. This one was done by Nikki Giovanni and it's called Allowables. I killed a spider. Not a murderous brown recluse, not even a black widow. And if the truth were told, this was only a small, sort of papery spider who should have run when I picked up the book. But she didn't, and she scared me, and I smashed her. I don't think I'm allowed to kill something because I'm frightened. I don't know, it just seemed like it set the tone. So I am of the belief that everything we want in the external world is completely dictated by what happens in our inside world. So if we think or treat ourselves in a certain way, then that's going to be reflected back to us from others. And if we don't want to be deeply connected to ourselves, you know, have an intimacy there on the inside, then that's how we'll interact with the outside. So our conversation today is all about opening up another little pocket of what lives inside. And the more you find personal experiences and real life moments to apply to it as we go through the hour, I feel like, you know, the more it'll deliver for you. So the phone number to call is 202-570-7057. Call anytime. Call if you just want to share a thought around guilt or a moment when you felt guilty. Anything, right? We'd love to hear from you. Makes the conversation all that much more interesting. So some things about being human are so common, they're so normalized, so accepted that we don't even think about questioning why they exist to begin with. And I think guilt is one of those aspects. If you're going to be human, if you are human, you're going to feel guilt. So, you know, as the expected byproduct of a situation or a circumstance we feel regret over, we just expect it to be the experience that seeps and oozes out the sides, always waiting to glob onto us at, you know, some future date. But what really causes guilt? And what would it look like if we didn't have it? What purpose does it really serve? You know, guilt really starts with our idea of right and wrong. We have ideas and beliefs that follow along the lines of our core values, and when we step outside of what we deem as acceptable, guilt lies in wait for us. I think we even kind of welcome it. Not happily, but maybe the word is willing, right? We're willing to let it be there. So when we do something we think is wrong or inappropriate, then we'll feel some guilt to go with it. And we self-shame, we give ourselves a hard time, we turn on ourselves, and we even might feel contempt for who we are. Because guilt causes us to accept this treatment of ourselves, because at some level, we believe we deserve it. It already got tried in the domain of our belief systems, so condemning the action is kind of logical. So if you think about five rules you live your life by, any time you deviate from meeting your standards, guilt is the guest you can anticipate will be waiting at your door. So here's a couple of examples that I have in my life. You don't harm other people. You don't tell other secrets. You don't take too much space more than is yours to take. You don't lie, and you don't take things that are not yours. See, the challenge with these is that they're ideas that got set up to help you be a quote-unquote good person or to behave properly. And for most of us, this matters. You know, we care about being good citizens of the world. So somewhere along the way, there was a very clear delineation made between the benefits of being a good person and the not-such-great life that a bad person contracts. So these ideas are perceived through kind of a one-size-fits-all kind of perspective, and they likely got put in motion when you were much younger than you are now, when you had a lot less life under your belt. They may have been fortified by some life experiences that had you, in real time, take an action that went against them, and then you were left to feel the effects of your choices afterwards, which reaffirmed and reestablished that those actions shouldn't be the ones you take. You know, a long time ago, I stole the candy bar before school. I was 8.5, 9. It totally went against what I knew was a not okay act, to take something that wasn't mine, to not pay for something that had a price tag. FYI, it was a Baby Ruth candy bar, and my guilt ate me up that whole day. And it was 100 degrees. Yeah, I grew up in Arizona. I never ate it. I kept looking at it, taking it out. And so I kept it. And at the end of the day, I went back to the little store and I placed it where I had taken it. Or I replaced it where I had taken it. What I didn't do was actually tell the store manager that I had taken it. I actually didn't tell anyone. Well, I'm telling everyone now, right? I tried to slip it back into place without anyone noticing what I had done. So I realized after talking to this friend of mine that had had the perspective at the beginning, that I didn't want to own up to my own guilt. And beyond feeling guilt, I didn't want anyone to know what I'd done. There were these perceived consequences I did not want to face. I could not stand up for what kind of judgment I would be receiving if they found out. By the way, a year later, I found a piece of wood about 1 inch by 1/2 inch in my paid-for Baby Ruth. I always wondered about that, and I connected my guilt moment to that wood. You know, as I think about it, I don't think I ever ate another Baby Ruth after that piece of wood. And I think, yep, that's how the subconscious works. All right, so let's think about this. Guilt leads us to look at what we value as right and wrong. It's always in the background if we take a left turn from what we have determined is right. It brings up our own sense of blame and responsibility and integrity. And it stirs up the question of being sneaky and hiding out, having trouble being honest about our actions. Right? That's what happened to me. It stirred up my being sneaky and hiding out and not owning up. See, the thing with guilt, it's a 5-letter word, and it sits on top of so much of what makes us human. It masks the places where we don't treat ourselves well, where we hold ourselves inside of a judgmental perspective, and where we've drawn conclusions about what makes us good and what makes us bad. And it pushes on our sense of integrity and activates our judgmental nature. we can see, right, from all that list that I just described, how easy it is to lose real, true, substantive freedom in here. I heard a story about a father and a son team who worked in construction, you know, building houses. So evidently there are certain safety procedures that you have to follow when you're working on the roof of a house with skylights. So on this day, the son, he didn't follow it. So he cut the skylight out, but he didn't actually push the wood through. So evidently it leaves like a cutout hidden trap door if you don't push it through. So I'm not sure I'm getting the details exactly right, but what happened is that the father then unknowingly stepped on this spot, and tragically he fell to his death. It's a true story. Can you imagine the guilt his son has lived with all of this time? And this brings me to my next point about guilt. That was an accident. Yes, it was an accident that had he followed the rules and done what he was supposed to do, it wouldn't have happened, but it was still an accident nonetheless. And this is something we humans just don't want any part of. The idea that life and the events that cause us sadness and vulnerability at some level are out of our control. We can't always do the right thing or what we're supposed to, because you see, guilt allows us, by taking it on, by welcoming it in, it has us feel as if we do have a little control, that we're not just floating through a life that's happening, you know, unbeknownst to us and unresponsive to our attempts to influence or push on it. By assuming responsibility for what happened, even if what we carry feels incredibly grave, we're still attached in some way to the action of it. You know, in this woeful story, we're caught between recognizing that accidents, they happen, but not being able to truly accept that this heartbreaking situation wasn't someone's direct fault. We just can't imagine that our unconscious selves are controlling more than we think we are. And we just can't accept that we aren't able to control everything around us, and we can't deal with what it means about us when we don't do this. It reminds me, you know, of the serenity prayer where it says that one line, grant me the serenity of what cannot be helped. I think this is the hardest thing about guilt. You get it coming and going. From the left side, where it comes from, it's set up by an idea of how to be so that you don't have to feel guilt. But on the right side, where it goes, you live with all of this shame and blame and judgment if you falter. It's like a double no win for the human experience. See, trying to be something that's good and right and then feeling bad and wrong when you're not able to pull it off, this goes on over and over. It's like being the ball in a soccer field or a soccer game, being kicked and passed from one end of the field to another. No wonder we're stressed out and anxious, because this stuff's going on inside all the time. So acceptance, it plays a role in working with guilt. It has to do with accepting ourselves as human and fallible and imperfectly perfect. It has to do with accepting that we aren't as in control as we would like to, like or try to be. And it has to do with accepting that our humanness is designed to show us what lives in our insides. You know, acceptance is definitely one of those evolutionary learning steps we all are working with. It has everything to do with our understanding of our smallness in the universe, our lack of control, while simultaneously assuming like the fullest power to impact our world in a way that's strictly, specifically unique to us. So where we find guilt, we'll find hugely important lessons about acceptance of what is. In working with guilt, there's a ton of messages that came from our family culture and our childhood, and they're interpreted as words through the lens of a child, and they often don't take in the true complexity of life, because when we hear them, we're hearing them through the lens of the age that we are. But as we go through life, we get to recognize that there's so much more to what those words meant. And if you're really, really looking, those words are going to change meaning with each layer that you peel within yourself. So in working with guilt, there's a ton of these messages that came from this place. Guilt work gives us an opportunity to question these. And so I'm going to talk more about this later and how you might do that. But for now, I'd like to zero in on some everyday guilt examples. This is a good time for you to think of them. Now, I gave a really extreme example, and I gave a smaller example. And I'm hoping that you're starting to, in your psyche, as you're listening, find a place to like land in your own experience, with your own memories, with your own moments of time where guilt was present. So I have some really simple places. So here's the scene. A daughter finds out she's pregnant and wants to be the one to tell her sibling. She's so excited, right? She wants to see the look on their face, right? But before she gets home, her mom lets the cat out of the bag, even though she knew her daughter wanted to be the one to tell her. Or here's another one. You're at a party and someone's being paid a lot of attention to, and you find yourself getting a bit louder and a bit more involved until you realize you're the center of attention and your friend is being completely ignored. Or here's my favorite one, because I've actually done this. You take the last slice of dessert, depriving your mother of having one, even though you've already had a slice. So here's the number to call after break, 202-570-7057. I'd love to hear a few of your guilt moments.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. Our topic today is guilt, and we're weaving through that conversation, building one piece at a time. And before we went on break, I invited people to talk about some of the everyday moments where you might feel little pieces of guilt. And these everyday moments, they arise from a need often that is seen as selfish or unacceptable, or like as bad behavior. So I don't generally do this, but in this particular moment, it seemed like a way to break this up. I think there, in this case, there are two kinds of people, not that you can't fall in between. There's the ones who are acutely aware that they're being a certain way, and then they feel guilty about it. And then there's the ones who have no idea they have a need at play, and they believe these kinds of moments, these everyday guilt moments, are just accidental steps or missteps that should just be attributed to their personality or their mood or the circumstances. See, in the first case, that person would likely feel guilt And in the second one, I think the guilt tends to show up if someone points it out and asks them to consider what happened. So, all right, well, where am I going with this? Well, I'm saying that for all of our rules and our guidelines that set up where and when we feel guilty, there's a deeper place underneath guilt that has to do with how comfortable we are with our true needs. And that also has to do with how willing we are to notice these moments when we're working outside of what we feel is a good way to be. Our need to be paid attention to, our need to have enough, our need to be loved, our need to be acceptable and worthy and wanted and cared for. Needs. You know, because when our needs are not met, we're going to crash the party with actions that we regret or bring up guilt if we've got a framework for what is good that doesn't make room for these needs. I guess I'd sum it up by starting to say that wherever you feel guilt, you want to look at what you were needing that didn't get met, or that you don't approve of, or think you should have, that had you work outside of the guidelines you set for yourself. So rather than just trying to get your behavior under control or apologize for your behavior, it's really an opportunity to look deeper at what is really going on, what's human, what's true. So let's go a little further with this, because when you look for your needs, you might also start thinking about what these guidelines are that you set for yourself. Are they actually doable without causing you to fail at delivering on them the minute you get out in life? Do they make you rigid and controlling as a way to live and inside of your rules rather than having the ease to give yourself over and allow for your own human experience to take form and shape? And do they take into account a realistic approach to being human? Or do they set you up to try to achieve some ridiculous set of ideals, trying to do the right thing? See, to me, when you start getting acutely aware of guilt and what you do with it, it gives you a pathway to explore the rules and the values that you run your life from. And if you do that, then it gives you the opportunity to see exactly how much room you provide for yourself to express your humanness. It allows you to see where you get righteous and superior. It allows you to understand what you're on the receiving end of, because you actually start to understand what other people are running their life from too. So remember I mentioned the two ways that people handle these everyday guilt-producing moments. And I said that there's one who is acutely aware of their rules, and then there's the other that isn't. Well, that person who isn't aware of their guidelines, that isn't focusing on being self-aware, in their case, working with guilt and helping them get empathetic or noticing what's happening around them is super-duper helpful for their self-development process. Both Sandy Brown and Ruthie Landis, my wise teachers, agree that there is such a thing as some useful guilt. And I think this is what they mean. It's not really the deep shame-inducing guilt. It's the kind of guilt that gets you to the first step of becoming aware of who you're being in any setting in your life. You know, it's the kind of guilt that has you stop and consider how you occurred inside of a relationship with others, and most importantly, with yourself. And it's the beginning to noticing that you actually have needs and that they're playing out all of the time. It's the place where we really start getting responsible for those needs and how we get them met. See, guilt, when seen as helpful rather than a static state of being that's weighty, right? It provides a signpost to direct us inward, to help us look more closely at our needs and our rules and just how we've set up the ideal in life. But what's not great about guilt is when it settles into a permanent state of self-hatred, self-directed resentment and contempt, and a reason to not like yourself. This kind of guilt is being used by the self for an entirely different reason, and it becomes the basis for why you feel those same things towards others. It gets in the way of relationship. So while it's still being driven by these guidelines that you set up for yourself, but it's usually accompanied by a very heavy set of moral judgments or a deep, deep regret over a loss that resulted from our actions. We usually have a ton of proof to substantiate this legitimate feeling of shame, blame, embarrassment, and self-loathing. And if anyone tries to talk you out of it, you will go down swinging to prove that you deserve to feel this guilt. And this is where it locks us down. The mind is unwilling to move it, and we spend a lifetime here. It's where my example of the son who inadvertently didn't follow safety protocols is left rehashing over and over, wishing he could go back and redo his mistake. I bet if you think about your life right now, there are a number of moments that when you look through it, you'd say, I wish I could do that over. I have guilt over how that played out. And it's likely that there's a theme for you that's different for each person, really. Some people, it would be that somebody got harmed. For some people, guilt is around not showing up enough on behalf of their family or the people that they loved. You really want to zero in on your theme, the things that circle and revolve around your relationship to guilt. That son, or actually when I think about it, like an action that is undoable and not debatable as to the cost, it leaves us with nowhere to go but to try to, unfortunately, avoid the feelings, maybe even get into denial. It stays in these blind spots and the thoughts if we are to go on and live life. It's like a giant rubber stamp comes out and says, forevermore, you cannot feel free to live and be pleased with who you are. Think about the big losses or changes or situations in your life that bring up guilt and blame and irresponsibility or getting a need met that you felt embarrassed by. Do they ever move? Do you ever really get free of them? Or is it like always having something stuck in your windpipe, reminding you, getting triggered by a song or an event that brings you back to it over and over? I know there are big moments and little moments where guilt shows itself. And the little moments are probably easier to look at and see where our needs are at play, or where we might become more self-aware and see ways that we were being in relationship with others. The bigger moments are so much harder because it's likely that someone did get hurt, someone lost something, someone missed the big picture, or an accident happened and judgments flew. These moments sound like you've acted in some way and you are now convicted of this act. And the only thing left for you is to figure out how to cope. And many of these moments happen when we're on the younger side too. And unfortunately, regretfully, they can permeate an entire lifetime. So before I go any further, I just want to say this, that guilt on any level, whether in small increments or large, when it is allowed to stay in place inside your psyche, inside your thoughts, and inside of your world, it's that amount of freedom that you don't have to really operate in life as a new person. You're carrying it around with you. It's playing a role. It's influencing your choices. It has a lot to do with what you actually make available to yourself to believe you can have. And I don't like this ending of the story for anyone. I want you to be able to say, hey, guilt isn't something I just have to let be. I can work with it. And I guess that's why I wanted to talk about this subject today. Because unless we challenge the concreteness of our guilt about things, we're literally left at this gate with nowhere else to go. I feel guilt. This is the way it is. I've just got to learn to live with it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's done. It's passed. It went down. And that's how it happened. Even if you said you were sorry, right? Even if you tried to make amends in some way, which I know is part of the guilt cycle, you're still left with carrying it. So how do you do something other than cope with guilt? I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know whether this guilt piece is striking a chord for you. So how do you do something other than cope with guilt? Well, you begin by exploring this idea of empathy, by really, really allowing for an understanding that to be human is to experiment and to learn, not to get it right. That's not the point. Now, we've bought into that, so it's like, what do you have to bring to this conversation in your head to start debunking that to be human is to experiment and to learn? You might have to go inside and look at the rules you've laid out for yourself or were laid out for you and you just bought into unconsciously. You might need to look at the rules that were established in your family and actually examine them for whether or not they are realistic or reasonable, freedom creating, or honoring not only of the human journey, but of your unique journey that is layered up with the lessons, the adventures, and the thoughtfulness that is unique to you. Because you see, when these rules get set up, oftentimes they're set up from a place of fear. Don't tell people your secrets. They'll use them against you. This translates to don't tell secrets, which then translates to you need to feel guilt if you tell someone's secret. But there's probably a need in there. And again, the growth here is to understand what that need is that had you tell the secret. For that mom, what was going on for her that she let the cat out of the bag about her daughter's exciting news? The looking inside of that would tell her a lot about those parts of ourselves that we tend not to look at, the parts that are in the dark spaces, the aspects of ourselves we don't want to know about. See, these rules get set up because our families want us to fit some idealized image of who we should be. And then we want to fit that. Selfishness is a bad thing. Therefore, you always want to think of others first. Therefore, after being in a marriage for years, when you realized you weren't happy, all you could feel was guilt for thinking of yourself and making a change. Again, it's not that we're saying we don't want to think of other people. We're just talking about debunking these rules so that we start to make room for what's real and raw and expressive of being a person. And there's no question that when we experience someone else's selfishness, that adds to us wanting to make it wrong or bad. So to do more than cope with guilt, you have to get underneath the right and wrong rules that you've used to keep yourself safe inside of your own life. You might be saying, what do you mean keep myself safe? Well, you play within the lines, you follow your rules, you don't have to feel guilt, you get to feel righteous and concluded, you don't have to investigate and explore. That's pretty safe. These rules have been used to give you a place to walk proudly and confidently. But they don't allow for that human experience. I know I say these words all the time, which doesn't give a flying flip about being good and right. It cares that you learn and you grow, that you stumble and you trip and you learn what that feels like. And then it brings you to some place that you wouldn't naturally have gone on your own, because as human creatures, right, we're drawn to what doesn't have pain. We're drawn to pleasure. We're drawn to the places where we don't have to feel fear. So when you're learning how to do more than cope with guilt, it means that you're learning how to investigate the basis for your rules in life to see how they stifle and suffocate and limit the true opportunity to be and accept your humanness. I think the other thing we have to do if we're going to get beyond just coping is to really work with this concept of acceptance. Acceptance that it was you who did something. You did the act. It was you who had the need. It was you who lived in that moment. And in order to do this, it means we have to remove the judgments. We have to just see that what is so is that we were there. Without all the added mental mumbo jumbo about what you should have done, how it should have gone, what you should have been thinking about. That gets in the way of really, really accepting our presence. And even we have to accept all of the thoughts that go along with the situation. The ones we wish we didn't have, that we're not proud of, the ones we're embarrassed of. We must accept that we were there. We did that. And when I say we did that, I'm not saying the added story that we put on top of it, but what we actually did. What I actually did was stood in a little mini mart and took a Baby Ruth candy bar. I did that. Now, when I say that, I've got feelings that are going to come up of guilt and shame and embarrassment. The more I can be with those feelings, the more I can accept I was there. I don't have to add the judgment to it. It's kind of a complex way to think about it, but it is the best way to get ourselves front and center with I was there, I did it, and not have to bring all those judgments with it. I get a lot of mileage, like growth mileage, when I follow a thought that starts with, if only I hadn't, or if only I had. It usually tells me where I need to head to really own I did that. You're owning that I did that when it feels like a very, very uncomfortable, blunt object pushing at the side of your nose. On that note, we'll head off to break. And when we come back, I hope you'll call and share a little bit about your being there and your experience with guilt.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back. I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. We're talking about guilt today, and, you know, it's a big subject, and I've been layering one idea on top of another, so I'm hoping that for those of you who are listening, that you're starting to feel these pieces kind of come together. So the thing that I said, the sentence I said before we broke was, you know you're owning that I did that, when it feels like a very, very uncomfortable blunt object pushing at the side of your nose. Again, I know this owning's really tough because you have to be willing to feel what comes with it. And then you also have to work your way through the judgments that come flooding into your psyche. But that's what processing is all about. That's what going inside and being with yourself is all about. The reason that we have to own, I did that, without the judgment, is because it goes to owning the power we do have. And believe it or not, most of us want to claim power for things that we don't have power over. And we miss the things we do have power over because they're also associated with the things that go on that we wish didn't. See, one of the biggest challenges with having power is that you have to assume responsibility for all of what you bring to the world, not just the stuff that makes you feel good. See, there's a trick here. When you own that you did something, you have to give credit that you likely did it, being unconscious to the ramifications of your actions. So this is a whole nother layer to this, right? There's such vulnerability and innocence embedded inside every single act of your life. See, you can see that if you really believe you know what you're doing all of the time, if you walk with the idea that you're completely conscious and able to see all the ramifications of everything that you do, that you so understand all dynamics, then there's no way you'd be able to own that you did it. Because if that was the truth, you'd never be caught up after the fact feeling regret. So this is the little juicy spot, right? This is the part we really miss with all of the edginess and harshness around this idea of guilt, is that we are vulnerable, innocent beings walking through life, trying to make sense of it, while our heads are walking through life thinking we know stuff. And guilt is the great equalizer because it helps us recognize, oh, that innocence was at play. That humanness was actually at work. It's a crucial brick in doing more than coping with guilt. You have to take the case that you don't know, that you're not conscious, that we don't know everything that was going on with you or all that was at play. So to own I did that, it means you did it and you didn't know stuff too. I think this is one of the hardest foundational pieces when really working with the inside self, and in this case, guilt, because we just can't accept that we don't know everything we don't know. Sure, we know what we do know, but that's just not everything, and it doesn't come close to all of that innocent, vulnerable, not knowing part of the self that's inside. And there's a hidden reason why this is such a very difficult stretch. It's because we cannot stand, I mean absolutely, completely detest the feeling of powerlessness. We would rather feel guilt forever than actually accept our powerlessness. So the very idea that our unconscious self and all the needs working inside of that are at work and cause us to take actions that function outside of the rules we hold for ourselves is completely unreasonable and untenable. But it is the basis for everything. So if you really think about it, only 5 to 10% of the brain is consciously used. That other 90% of the brain has to be doing something. And let's not stop there. There's 160,000 nerve endings in your body. All that muscle memory. There are other parts of being that are at work all the time, registering and processing events and sending information somewhere. And this is all of it is at work behind the scenes while you are attempting to figure out life so you know what you're doing and you get to feel confident and concluded about stuff. So you can see, right? That for those who aren't interested in being self-aware, they're left to deal with just the very tip of the dragon's tail as a way to interface with life. And for those who do want awareness, they're left to deal with all of their actions to own them, while full well recognizing they don't have all of the information they need to explain why it happens, or even to be able to make other choices. So there's one more element of how to cope with guilt I want to highlight, and it has to do with dealing with loss and hurt. It ties into this place where we don't want to feel powerless, but it really centers itself on not wanting to feel, particularly loss and hurt. I mean, let's face it, loss is absolutely gut-wrenching, and it rips your insides out and leaves you empty and gaping and looking for anything to take the pain away. And most of us just don't have the tolerance to feel this loss and hurt until it's run its course. So we keep it boxed up and stored inside. Guilt is the lid. I mean, it's honestly easier to let guilt take the heat than it is to feel the depth of pain that goes with loss and hurt. And because we feel like it's going to swallow us up and we may never come back up for air, we at least know guilt. We recognize it as normal, and coping is something we can expect and deal with and at some level live with. So you see, like, guilt is actually the best solution when we don't want to feel or are afraid to feel or feel terrified of allowing pain to run its course. And because of this, we never get free. We never really give ourselves over to the human experience of learning and being with ourselves completely and fully and wholly. And although I could tell someone, you'll eventually run out of tears, and I have told people that, you'll get to the end of the pain, really, they won't believe me. I did that personally, you know, in my mid-20s. I cried every day, probably for 4 or 5 years, sometimes for 10 minutes, sometimes for 2 hours. I finally got done. I don't cry like that now. I don't even feel like I need to cry like that now. And this guilt, it doesn't plague me or hold me back in the same way before, because I worked through some of it. Doesn't mean I don't have all these pieces as I run into it, as I do real life, because there's always newfound guilt finding its way to me, right? All I can say is feeling. It's like the waterway to the self, and it's the only way to free up being. So feeling around guilt is super important. Super duper important. And we probably don't like talking about guilt. We don't like feeling about it. That's what that friend illuminated for me, right? It's like actually just the start of saying, I have guilt about something, let alone feel it, is a tall order. So I want to talk a bit about keeping secrets that you feel shame around. I have definitely noticed that wherever someone feels guilt, I usually find secrets. And these secrets take the shape of something they think of themselves that they don't want others to know because they'll be judged. Or their actions that happened that no one knows about, that they believe played a role in why that situation went down the way it did. Or their conclusions that they've drawn, that they're afraid if they tell this secret that someone's going to confirm that for them. But I can tell you, secrets are shame's playground. So I just want to encourage you, find someone to tell your secrets to, even if they're not just about guilt. Give them the opportunity to reflect back to you acceptance and understanding. So you have an opportunity to unearth them. Unearth them. Did I say that right? And also to get them into the light of day, to help them dissipate. And perhaps maybe even own something about them so you can get free of the guilt. Right? Because when secrets come out into the open, they begin to lose some of their power. When we hold them as a secret, they hold on to us. So with all this said, I want to flip the conversation just a little bit. Do you recognize that if you will go towards your guilt and really work with it, you're also going to then provide a more loving space for others to do the same? It makes sense, right? If you begin to unwind your rules and see them as limiting and safety producing and fear-based and rigid, let's not forget rigid, then you're also able to see others' rules more clearly. If you're able to own what you do and really allow the powerlessness of life to be okay within you, then you're going to understand what's needed for others and recognize that their unconsciousness is at play all of the time too, and your empathy will grow. If you are able to feel the pain of loss and hurt, then you'll be able to understand where it's missing for others. You'll be willing to extend room for them to feel, and you'll recognize why it's so hard for people to acknowledge loss and hurt, which means they can't be empathetic either. And that will give rise to your heart opening when you find yourself on the receiving end of someone else's. actions. So I found a short poem for this moment. I want to share it with you. It's by Miller Williams. It's called Compassion. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard or no eyes have seen. You do not know what wars are going on down there where the spirit meets the bone. Oh my gosh, I just love that poem. Which brings me to this empathy. Do you see, we use guilt quite skillfully to avoid feeling powerless, to avoid fear, and to provide a sense of security for our need to feel good and right, and to maintain some structure so we don't have to feel all that vulnerability associated with having needs. But, and this is a huge but, empathy very rarely comes easily when guilt is locked in place inside of ourselves. You know, empathy has to do with accepting our humanness and unconsciousness and our loss, and it shows up when we can connect our inner world and all that it's dealing with someone else's inner world. And we need as much of this as we can get. In 2021, we need empathy. We need to be able to connect. Without self-awareness and a willingness to feel, empathy is hard to come by. And guilt work, it leads you to self-awareness. Right? This makes sense, doesn't it? So my final piece I want to bring today along these lines with guilt work, it has to do with the messages you got about right actions as a child. Remember earlier I said I would come back to this. So I'm going to be really blunt here. Wherever you got in trouble, the more intense, violent, forceful, the more forceful, you know, that it was, the getting in trouble experience, the harder time you're going to have owning up to your guilt. Because working with guilt and beginning to do more than cope with it is going to run into all of that cellular memory that was traumatizing and affected your psyche. Because at the unconscious level of self, it remembers each and every moment of getting in trouble. And it's going to attach that to going inside and really being with these moments of need. It's going to associate you getting honest and sharing and being with times when you got in trouble for not following the rules, and it's going to avoid them. That's what happened to me with that darn candy bar. Your inner child from every year of your life likely has some experience of being in trouble with adults. So if you're going to really unwind guilt, you're going to have to spend some time looking at exactly what happened when you got in trouble, re-experiencing it. So I want to give you some questions to pose inside of that. Okay, here we go. What did you get in trouble for? What was the rule you broke? And how did that getting in trouble get played out? How was it acted upon? What needs did you have that any human being might have at the time? What needs do you realize now are valid and legitimate, but didn't seem to be welcome inside of that moment of getting in trouble? How were you left to deal or cope with getting in trouble? Do you remember the sensation of getting in trouble? Did you feel defensive or defiant at any point? Were you abandoned to deal with the aftermath? Why did these rules exist inside of your family? How were they modeled and played out by others? Where is there rigidity around these rules within you? If these rules didn't exist, what would you be left with? And the last one. How have you bought into the idea that without these rules, you wouldn't be able to have the life you have? I hope you found our conversation helpful today, and that you think of guilt in a whole new light because of it, that you begin to work beneath the surface. You begin to break down your understanding of getting in trouble and tie it to these places where you've allowed guilt to just stay as it is. The final poem is by Naomi Shihab Nye, and it's called Kindness. And before I read it, I want to encourage you if you're liking these shows and you want to make sure you don't miss any, to go to samparato.com and you can register to get an update each week so you'll know what I'm going to be talking about, and you'll also get a copy of these poems. Okay, here we go. It's called Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I you have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. Have a wonderful week.